Welcome back to Fork This with Intoxicate. You can, of course, catch the show Tuesdays from 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. at 1490 WGCH, and also on Westchester Talk Radio Wednesdays at 6 p.m., and, of course, all your favorite podcasting platforms. Now, I am in Scarsdale right now. I'm at this fantastic spot. It's like a funky place. We're definitely going to discuss the decor because I love it here, but I am at Popojito in Scarsdale. I'm with Jeffrey Rosen, who's the Director of Operations and Finance. Jeffrey, how are you?
Good. How are you today?
Thanks for coming in.
I'm doing really well. You know, it's the calm before the storm, I think, for you, because we're chatting before the restaurant opens. It's not like all a buzz yet. You don't have staff here yet, which is really kind of cool to be in a restaurant space when it's quiet. It's very different for me.
It might actually be one of my favorite times. I get more work done than any other time. But it's always nice to come in early after a busy weekend and catch up on the weekend and get things done and get ready for the new week.
I have to say, it is like a good time. It's really nice. It's quiet. You know, you've got everything just in order. It's where it needs to be. But let's talk about the space here first, because I will say, you're killing it on Instagram, right? You're doing fantastic on Instagram. I'm seeing you guys everywhere. I'm getting tagged in things. The dishes look amazing. Totally great food porn on Instagram. And you came to the top of my list, right? You were bumped to the top of the list. I have to get here. The food looks amazing. There's so many things going on. And I happened to be at another media event last week down the street here, the Nordic Edge that just opened up. And I was like, oh, Popojito is right around the corner. I'm going. So, you know, my husband and I walk in, we sit down, we order, we're checking it out. I happen to see you, and we've known each other for a few years. And all of a sudden, another table's being dragged over next to mine. We've got the table full of food. We're wining and dining. It's fantastic. It's fantastic. Why Scarsdale? Why did you want to kind of pop up here?
You know, I think when the group decided they wanted to open a place in Westchester, the first one of what we hope will be many, they were looking for a town that really did not have much of a scene yet, but wanted to be in the forefront of creating one. And, you know, what's important is always trying to find a place where you know you have a good customer base and try to find what they're really going to enjoy. So I think after much thinking about it and figuring out where they wanted to be, they chose Scarsdale for that reason. And so far it's worked out real well for us.
I mean, again, a beautiful space. You've got it very industrial looking. You know, you've got the exposed Edison light bulbs. It's so much natural light coming in here from the front. You've got this amazingly designed chalkboard to my left over here, just kind of highlighting all of the concept here, the mission here. Was this always kind of the direction of the design?
It was. I don't think they went through too many iterations. They had an idea of what they wanted to do. In terms of, number one, from the concept of the menu, in terms of the look, in terms of the space that was provided to build out. And they really thought the industrial look was something that you don't see here in Scarsdale. And they really wanted to implement and incorporate that in this space.
And I think it's definitely working. And I'll say, just from my photos alone from last week, the kind of like distressed look on the top of these tables with the blue coming through, it looks so amazing as backdrop for Instagram. And, you know, sometimes we eat with our eyes. So is that kind of the intent to make everything in here so Instagrammable ready?
It probably was, actually. Without even giving any thought, I'm sure it was. You know, we have a great creative design team and a lot of creative people that support that. And I think just taking a look at the space and, you know, thinking about the overall concept, they wanted everything to be comfortable, everything to be easy on the eyes, everything, all the colors work together, support the dishes that are coming out. It's a nice feel. It's comfortable. It's just, you know, a place we wanted to have where family could come, couples could come, friends, and just enjoy a laid-back atmosphere. And I think the decor really provides that.
100% agree. And I know you kind of touched on the dishes a little bit. Let's talk a little bit about the mission here at Popojito. What are you guys trying to accomplish?
We are trying to accomplish from a food standpoint. basically the concept of melding together, for lack of a better word, different food concepts from around the world. Certainly the idea of a Mexican restaurant in a town where there really isn't one, and utilizing the experience of chefs that have prepared Mediterranean cuisine and other European cuisines, it just seemed to be a natural fit. And so in doing so, they came up with a menu and a concept that was able to do that and combine the two. What's nice is that as we've learned and as we've, you know, grown as a business, we're also trying to take influences of the parts of the world. We really consider ourselves more of a fusion Mexican restaurant now than just Mediterranean, and we really like the way we're expanding and providing and offering different styles to fit that quasi-Mexican theme.
I think the thing that kind of, you know, knocked my socks off was the fact that we had this amazing array of foods and flavors and chefs doing, some really fun things. But when I spoke with Chef after eating, he's telling me that he's trying to maintain a lot of gluten-free dishes, a lot of dairy-free dishes, you know, really making sure that you're getting really high-quality meats and vegetables. Was that always also part of the kind of concept?
Yes. I mean, it was decided early on that this would be a 100% gluten-free restaurant, and we've maintained that. It's something that we found to work for us, and what we've truly liked is the fact that we've gotten so much positive feedback from the people in the area, you know, who have certain dietary restrictions, be it celiac disease, other, you know, choices they make not to eat gluten foods, that it's worked real well for us. Also, we utilize the farms in the area, you know, proteins from those farms, vegetables, fruits. So we try to maintain a local relationship with those farms as well, and make sure that the product that comes in is, you know, top of the line for our customers.
Well, speaking from someone who just recently dined here, creme fraiche, right? It's something that I think we see in a lot of these types of dishes from Mexican influences. And it was so incredible to me to have a soft taco with creme fraiche included, and then chef to come over and say, oh, there's no dairy in that. That just, I mean, it's incredible.
It is. I don't know if I'm sharing any secrets, but we actually utilize tofu in those dishes, and he finds a way to make it work so there is no dairy involved. And people really seem to be enjoying it with the lime crema that we make, which you're referring to, as well as the avocado puree that we utilize as well. They seem to work real well with the tacos that we send out and the choices that we offer in those taco dishes, and people seem to enjoy it.
And for those of you listening right now who are like, I'm not gluten-free, I like my dairy, I like my cheese, don't worry, because one, you're not going to notice. And two, you have cheese on the menu. You have other things on the menu. So it's not like you're going to really feel like you're walking into some place like this and feel like you're missing something. This is not like a, you know, dietary, like, bland picture that we're painting here. This is full flavor. This is, you wouldn't even know. I didn't know. And trust me, I eat everything and dive into everything and dissect every dish. And it's just incredible. And there's so many different things that you can choose from. So let's talk about some of these dishes that you have. What's on the menu?
What's on the menu? We have what we feel is a nice menu of about 20 to 25 items. What we've found with our customers, number one, tacos, obviously. I mean, if you look at the back of our new shirts, our hashtag is Taco Envy. So tacos are number one, and people really seem to be enjoying those. We have it broken down into three main components of the tacos. You can get meat, fish, or vegetarian. So I think we've covered the bases with those, and over the course of a year, we'll trade out a few and bring in some new styles. My favorite, to be honest, is I love our fajitas. I probably have three or four fajita dishes a week here. I think they do a great job with it in the kitchen. The way and they put it on sizzling platters and bring it out as you would expect, and they've done a great job. And as well, what really seems to be doing well, especially during lunchtime, are our specialty salad bowls, our MedMax bowls, which probably consist of about 4 to 5 different vegetables. You could add your proteins, very healthy, all natural, and that seems to be a big seller for us during the daytime.
And just to highlight those tacos a little bit, you've got some things that are a little different.
We do.
Like soft shell crab, perhaps?
We do have soft shell crab on the menu. It seems to be a big hit for us this summer. Very nicely done, a little bit of tempura, lightly fried, and right into that soft taco shell as you were talking about. And then we kind of cover it with our secret sauce like McDonald's has, you know. And people really seem to be enjoying that. And it's always nice to create things and add new things. We also are doing a lobster salad taco for the summer, you know, just a traditional New England lobster salad that we put in a taco and then add our sauces, and people are really enjoying that as well. Our beef barbacoa, which is really nice as well. The beef is shredded and it's marinated, and those seem to be our top sellers these days.
And what about dessert?
Homemade churros. Can't beat it. We make our own dough, and we fry it up, and people seem to love those. We make our churro sundaes. So we, to give a shout-out to Longford's Ice Cream over down the road from us, we make our own churro shells, and we have 4 or 5 different flavors of their ice cream, and that's a big hit. Then we add our hot fudge and cinnamon whipped cream to that.
I mean, come on. I mean, like, let's just talk about it. This churro was just amazing. Amazing. Is this gluten-free as well?
It is gluten-free. And I guess after the 6th one you've had, you probably know, so.
Well, it is light. It is a very light churro. It's not like that, you know, sometimes when you bite into a churro, it's a little dense. It's like normally a denser dessert.
Yeah, no, it's a light. Look, we have someone that has made churros for a number of years in different restaurants, and she's an expert at it. She's a pro, and they do come out light. They're not greasy. They're not oily. They're just right, and, you know, you get the warm churro on your plate with the cold ice cream, and it's a perfect combination.
And so we've kind of covered all the bases, like very broad strokes here. Popojito, funky space, cool space, great place to kind of come enjoy, you know, lunch or dinner. I assume you do takeout as well?
We do takeout, and we also do delivery. We are using the major providers of delivery, Uber Eats and Grubhub and DoorDash, for delivery to anyone in the area.
And you're delivering and providing that amazing food that we're speaking about. What's kind of next on the horizon for you guys? Because I feel like you've built this amazing restaurant here. Is there room for expansion? Are we thinking about expansion?
Not only, first and foremost, is there room for expansion within Popojito itself, because this summer we are adding a bar, which would be great, and then you will start to see some of those specialty cocktails come out, especially our array of margaritas, which we'll be having. But we will also be expanding into other areas of Westchester, coming soon in Mamaroneck in the next month and a half to 2 months. We will be opening a new restaurant named Don Hito. No relation to Popojito, personally. But similar concept. But, you know, we understand that each town has its own specific wants and desires and demographics. And so we're really working on a menu that not only includes a lot of the popular dishes from Popojito, but adding a few others to kind of even create a broader fusion Mexican feel.
You just, like, threw two huge bombs on me. So I'm going to dive into one, and then I feel like if you have time, I'd love to talk to you a little bit more about this new expansion in Mamaroneck, or this new concept in Mamaroneck. So when I came in last week, I know I had a cocktail. So are you making cocktails now?
I think you had a horchata. What did you have? I don't even know which one. Or, well, right now what we do is we do offer an array of beers, but we also have our homemade sangrias. And people seem to really be enjoying those. We make them ourselves, especially the passion fruit sangria. That one I could probably sit and drink all day. But in the next couple of weeks, we will have our full liquor license and be able to produce anything we want and make anything we want for our customers.
And are you going to have like a legit bar?
We are going to build out a small 5 to 6 seat bar in this space, which we've already conceptualized, and it will be a full bar, but it'll be limited as to what drinks we offer. I mean, we are a 45 seat restaurant, and so we have to work within the scope of what we're able to and the limitations with which we have in this space. However, that in no way excludes us from the large bar we will have at our new place in Mamaroneck, which will have probably about 20 to 30 seats and a full, more developed menu with an array of cocktails and drinks that kind of feature many of the tequilas and other types of spirits that come from around the world.
And just because it's, you know, the opportunity in front of me, and I have to ask because I know the answer to this question, but I think a lot of listeners out there are very in the dark about this part of the restaurant industry. Can you explain how difficult or how long the process is to actually get a liquor license for a restaurant?
I think you can hear stories that it could take upwards of over a year. You can, you know, it should take 4 to 6 months. And we decided that we wanted to really just start with the wine and beer first and get our feet on the ground and decide how we wanted to move forward. Certainly when we got the feedback from our customers who have been continually asking us for those margaritas, we knew we had to go to the next step. And with that, we, you know, those that have done this know the amount of paperwork you go through to do so. And we've certainly done that. And by the end of this month, we should be able to start knocking out those margaritas for everyone.
Listen, I have heard horror stories. I mean, I know it also depends on the town that you're in and what the restaurant space used to be, if it was a restaurant before that and whatnot. I know there's a lot of factors at play. But when I'm speaking to chefs and restaurateurs who have opened up new locations, it's either they're stuck on Con Ed or they're stuck on the liquor license. It's one of the two.
It's always one. You know what? If it's not both, it's one or the other. But you know what? You make friends quickly, and you learn how to work with the people in the town and make a good go of it. I do have to say, from what I've heard, the people in Village Hall and Scarsdale have been nothing but positive in wanting us to be here in town, and they've been very supportive and appreciative of everything we've tried to do. So nothing but positive things to say about them, and we look forward to being a part of this town and community for many years and having their support.
Very well said. Now, you'll stick around and talk with us a little bit more about kind of overall general restaurant stuff, right?
Sure.
Awesome. All right. Jeffrey Rosen, Director of Operations and Finance of Popojito in Scarsdale. Make sure you stick around because we have to take a quick break. You're listening to Fork This on 1490 WGCH, Westchester Talk Radio, and, of course, your favorite podcast platforms.